So we are going to begin with the third chapter, which is the essentials of compensation. Now, to ensure that there is an equitable compensation for the various levels in the organization, the scientists, the behavioral scientists, they have come out with different job evaluation methods, which we shall discuss in detail in this particular chapter. We will also look at the essential salary surveys that need to be done in this particular context. So let's first look at the chapter objectives. So students, by the end of this particular chapter, we will look at the essence of the process of job evaluation to the concept of compensation. So how does this process bring value to the process of compensation is what we shall look at, and of course the various models and theories that are associated with this particular topic. We will also look at a key part that is played by the surveys that happen in the context of compensation, and they prove important in determining the salary structures. We will also look at the essentials of salary surveys as mentioned earlier. Now, let's have an introductory look at the chapter before we move into the core parts. The goal of this job evaluation aspect is to compare the jobs with each other in order to create a pay structure that is fair, equitable, and consistent for the employees of that organization. So what ideally this means is, if two people are working at the same level, they are peers with an equivalent experience, don't you think that their compensation should also be fair, be equitable? Now, the term itself, evaluation, means a sort of an analysis or an assessment to get a better idea or a fair idea which relates to the compensation at jobs. And it can be instrumental in the creation of equitable, which is equal, compensation system through appropriate job classification. A job evaluation is therefore, it's a sort of a structured, you may say, or a systematic method of coming to understand the value or the worth of a job in relationship to other jobs in the organization. So this is why a job evaluation process is critical for any organization representing any domain in the industry. So as we've come to know now, job evaluation, it plays a big role in building internal parity, that is a sort of equality, therefore creating fairness. And this fairness has to be perceived in a positive fashion by the people who are being evaluated. Employees always compare notes on their salary, the job descriptions, and performance standards. As per my experience, although this does not happen openly, but it's the talk of the grapevine, especially after the performance appraisal happens and people get their revised salary notes, they do compare. Okay? So this is one of the situations where this particular aspect can be visibly noticed. Now, job evaluation, as mentioned earlier, it tries to make a structured or a systematic sort of a comparison between jobs to assess their relative worth for the purpose of establishing a rational pay structure. Now, we will see some examples of a rational pay structure as we progress through this particular chapter. Job evaluation, this concept, it developed out of the civil service classification practices and some early employer jobs and pay classification systems. So as you may recollect or know that India before independence had the British rule, and there was a very, systematic or a broad-based civil structure where this came out into being, and therefore it has carried on post-independence as well. As organizations became larger and larger, so we are talking about the 80s, the 90s, they became more bureaucratized, so there were more layers, there were more hierarchical layers. The need for a rational system of paying employees became evident. Just imagine, so you can visualize a large IT organization or a large manufacturing setup spread across the world. Just imagine, you know, right from the top C-level layers to the bottom grassroots layers. There are so many levels that, partake in the organization's running. And hence it is bureaucratized, like mentioned here. And we need equality in the levels which are equal to each other. So hence job evaluation is something which has taken prominence in the last few decades. Now, wage structures became more complex and needed some way to bring order to the chaos perpetuated by the supervisors setting pay rates for their employees on their own. So in a large setup, many a times in the early 40s and 50s, there were people who handled it like, handled their departments like their own ownership shop, and there were a lot of disparities. Now, to bring in equality, the human resource department needed some tool, some framework, some sort of a system, and hence job evaluation became vital in this particular context. Now, what does this involve? Yeah, so it involves calculations and, of course, determination of the relative worth of each job for the purpose of establishing the wage and the salary differentials. Now, differentials basically mean that a person at a CEO level will definitely not get a salary of a general manager, or a general manager will not get a salary of a supervisor. Correct? So there will be a salary differential. Yeah. Employees need to be compensated depending on the grades of jobs that they perform. And this is what I have related with the previous example. And hence, job evaluation becomes critical. The purpose of conducting job evaluation is therefore to fairly determine the monetary value or the worth of a job in relationship to other jobs in an organization. For example, let us say the CFO of the organization, of let's say an organization which has roughly about 20,000 employees, is doing an extremely critical and important job, a job which cannot be done by, let us say, an operations manager. So the CEO is looking at the strategic aspects of running the organization, preventing risk, reducing risk, and a lot of financial aspects. Now, if he or she is paid, similar to what an operations manager is paid, it wouldn't do justice to their niche job service. Hence, we need to determine the monetary value properly. Using job evaluation results, one can develop appropriate salary grades and decide on other compensation issues. So if the salary is not falling under a certain bracket for a senior employee, can we balance it with some perks which don't show up in the CTC for taxation or other legal aspects? So these can also be a part of the job evaluation practices. Hence, job evaluation has certain aims and objectives which, if carefully considered, make them a successful practice for organizational compensation. The first aim is to establish an orderly, rational, systematic structure of jobs based on their worth. So this again has been discussed earlier, and we will also look at, with the help of an image, understand this in a simpler manner. It also aims to justify an existing pay rate structure or to develop one that provides for internal equity. So this is also what is extremely important. It also tends to provide, or aims to provide, a rational basis for negotiating pay rates when bargaining collectively with a recognized union. So if you remember in chapter 2, in the second chapter, we have looked at how unions play a very important role in every setup, majorly related to heavy engineering industries, industries in the manufacturing sector, and how they tend to bargain certain wages, certain compensation aspects related to their workers. So again, this plays an important role in facilitating the right kind of balance. Another couple of objectives or aims that the job evaluation tends to focus upon are to ensure the fair and equitable compensation of employees in relation to their duties. So if it's a strategic level duty where the organization is going to get more return on investment, then they will be compensated in a better fashion than something which is thoroughly operational and which is not going to yield too much of a productivity for that respective organization. Also, to establish a specific framework of procedures to determine the grade levels and the consequent salary range for new jobs or jobs which have evolved and changed. So this is also very important, a point which was not mentioned earlier. So just imagine there is a requirement for a machine learning developers in an IT organization, and there has been some amount of evolution in the base, you know, jobs. So we need to also consider a job evaluation to be done before a compensation package is proposed to those new entrants or the prospective employees. So it's actually very imperative, or it's kind of understood that job evaluations are reviewed periodically, correct? So it's not like an employee joins as per a specific cost to company and remains that way for a long period, no. So we have 6 months, we have a year's evaluation period where the evaluation is done during times of appraisal. Now, why is this so? Because the working conditions, they change over time. For instance, technological advances and new services to benefit the organization become available. So let's say automation happens in a manufacturing setup and they adopt to some world-class manufacturing practices, and every day about half an hour is utilized, or maybe, you know, is kind of saved. So probably this can also be factored in, and potentially changing a position's grade level or even eliminating certain job requirements come into play. So let's say one foreman in a manufacturing setup, because of changes and let us say enhancements in technology, is able to essentially do the work of 3 people. So don't you think the compensation also would need a change here? Okay, now we are looking at some of the main features of job evaluation after looking at the aims. To supply basis for wages negotiation founded on facts rather than on vague intermediate ideas. So determining wages affects the life of hundreds and thousands of people. It may be the difference between them enjoying life along with working and suffering because of inflation factors, because of a mismatch in the salary and their lifestyle. So we need something which is sound, something which is systematic rather than vague. It also attempts to assess jobs, not people. Job evaluation, okay, is the output provided by the job analysis. Job evaluation also is not completely designing the wage structure in a direct fashion, but it helps in rationalizing the system by reducing number of separate and different rates. So it tends to bring under its umbrella a unified sort of a system related to the rates, and then they are perceived as something which is equitable. Job evaluation is not simply made by individuals, rather it is done by a group of experts. So every industry, every particular company has its own set of internal and external experts who do this. So it is not something which is a form of a guesswork, or it doesn't have a vagueness. It has more of specificity involved in it. So what happens after the job analysis preparations are done? So after this preparation of job descriptions comes the essential stage of job evaluation. Okay, so here the systematic comparison of jobs in order to establish a job hierarchy is undertaken. So here an organization will look at reference points from the industry to see. So let's consider a startup, because established organizations generally already have a sort of a structure. Now if a startup comprising of founders has to establish a lower layer of hierarchy, they need to be conversant with elements of job evaluation and what sort of a compensation is paid for lower level employees. So if they want to hire a general manager, or they want to hire an operations manager, they want to hire somebody who will be looking into finances, they have to scrutinize and study this. The techniques which have been commonly used, okay, they tend to fall into one of the two major categories that have been enlisted over here. Now, one is a non-quantitative or a non-analytical form, okay, or these are also known as summary methods, which we'll see. And analytical or quantitative methods. So these tend to have a quantifying basis of understanding what goes on in the process of the job evaluation. So these are two separate branches or categories where we are able to divide the job evaluation. Now, if you look over here, this diagram clearly tells you that in the non-quantitative methods, which were spoken about and enlisted in the previous discussion, they include two important methods, that is job ranking and job classification. And the quantitative methods, where we involve number crunching and quantifying, they involve factor comparison and point rating. Now, all these methods will be looked at in further detail in the upcoming discussions. So as mentioned in the previous slide, through the help of a diagram, the first method of evaluating jobs is basically a non-quantitative method. Yeah. Now, what is the first type under this broad category? We have seen, and we are going to expand this and have a detailed understanding. So the first type is known as the job ranking method. So we're going to look at this method. Now, in this particular method or technique, the jobs basically are arranged from the highest to the lowest in order. So from strategic jobs like the CFO, the CEO, the COO, the managing director, they go down to the lowest level, where they might be foremen, they might be operators, they might be janitors, who cater to the grassroots level functionality of this particular organization. Jobs are usually ranked in each department as well, and then the department rankings are combined to develop. So every department contributes to the ranking, which is organizational in nature. Now here there is, of course, as you know, depending upon layer to layer of hierarchy, a specific sort of a variation, and this ideally depends on the variation of the jobs that are performed by the employees. So somebody performing a more strategic job, a job which adds more value to the organization, will be paid higher than somebody who's doing a grassroots or you may say an operational task or set of jobs. Now we continue our discussions with the job ranking method, and These important steps are involved in ranking. So some steps will be looked at here and some in the subsequent slides. The very first thing is to obtain the job information. So if you don't know about the job profile, the job description, and what the job entails, probably as a designer, you will fall short of providing a proper job evaluation. Hence, this is the most basic and the first step. So we do a job analysis, we find more details, we research about the description. So the job description for each job must be prepared, as this will be the basis of evaluating and ranking all jobs. So what would that involve? That would involve all aspects of knowing what entails that job. So let's suppose it's the job of, let's say, a foundry foreman in a manufacturing concern. So what would their job be? Their job would be upkeep and maintenance of the area. Their job would be keeping in times with the current JIT practices, maybe WSEM practices. They might also be supervising a few people in the foundry. Their job also might be related to safety and so on. So this might entail the job description. Now, after this is done, we need to select certain factors, which are the raters and jobs to be rated. So factors may be, human factors like people who do this or certain rating aspects. So ranking all the jobs at a time is usually not possible. So the organization in this context or step has to move through a phasic or a step-by-step manner. Unless the organization is really a small one like a startup, where the hierarchy is relatively flat and we don't have too many layers. The more usual procedure involves ranking jobs by departments or clusters. So if I were to ask you, how would you eat an elephant? Okay, how would you eat an elephant? What would be the answer? You can just pause and think. Okay, so what would be the answer here? The answer would be piece by piece. So considering any organization as an elephant, and you have to revise the job evaluation process, any HR department or business human relations for that department or that that particular line would look at doing it in small clusters or segments. Yeah. The third step to this process is to select certain compensable factors. So in the ranking method, it is common to use just one factor, which is considered as a vital or a critical factor. Post which, we need to rank the jobs. So next, the jobs are ranked. Ranking basically is nothing but a rating or a scoring. The easiest way to do this is by giving each rater. Now, this is the human rater, which we spoke about. A person which is involved, has expertise, has knowledge. So they're given the rater index cards that has brief description of all the jobs. So these are, either in the hard copy in the form of a file or a document, or they may be also soft copy today. Now, after the raters have given their piece of information, we move into the fifth step, which is to combine the ratings. It is usual to have several raters rank the jobs independently so as to get a wide perspective or angle. The ratings then are averaged out on a common table or a common platform, and then they are analyzed. So these are three more critical steps in the process of the job ranking. Now we look at the next method, related to the job ranking, which is the paired comparison. Now this is, you may say, a very useful technique in which each job is paired with other jobs in the series. Okay, the more difficult job in each pair is identified and the rank is assigned on the basis of the number of times the rating is more difficult. So let's say some exclusive job or one which involves more risk is rated higher here. Now, again, another technique in the job ranking method is ranking along a number line. In this technique, ranks obtained through job descriptions and paired comparisons are spread. So as I had mentioned, this involves a scoring of, you know, the rating. So each job is then placed along the line on the basis of its closeness to the highest ranked job. So this can also be a determinant of how a job can be evaluated and can be visually seen, and thus we can make a choice here. So we are now going to take a look at the advantages of this particular job ranking method. Now there are two very important advantages. The first thing is, as you might have also gathered from the previous discussions, this method is relatively simple and easy to understand. Yeah, and of course, because of the multiple raters and we are also splitting it in clusters, it's faster and it's inexpensive. So we don't have to deal with all the layers of the bureaucracy at one time. So even if it's a large organization, we can split it up into small segments and get the work done. And of course, if it's a startup or some organization that is relatively small, it becomes further simplified. Now, of course, along with the advantages, we also have some disadvantages which are associated with this specific segment of or types of methods. The first is, it is subjective and influenced by personal bias. Now, where does the preference or the bias come into place over here? So if you were to just go back and you were to just think about the bias, it would come through the thought process of a specific rater. So a human rater would give a rating as per their experience, their preference, any existence of biases or stereotypes. So this is influenced by personal bias. The next aspect is, specific job requirements are not taken into account. So many a times the jobs, they are kind of considered on a uniform or a generalized basic, basis. So this tends to distort some specific jobs in their comparison, and equity may be provided at the cost of the generalization that is done. Ranking does not give indications of actual differences between the jobs. This is what I had just mentioned. In terms of difficulties or responsibilities, for example, if somebody is shouldering more responsibilities as against a similar person in the peer group in the department, this particular method may not take into cognizance those specific aspects. So again, it will fall short of being very specific in its needs. Now we will look at the job classification or the grading method. Yeah. So we've already looked at the ranking method. We will look at the next non-quantitative type of method. Now here in this method, each level in the grade or the category structure has a description and it has associated job titles. Now each of these jobs, they are assigned to the grade or the category providing the closest match to the job. So this is sort of a grading or a classification which is inbuilt into this particular method or technique, which is non-quantitative in nature. Now here, to ensure the equity in the process of grading the job and the wage rates, a common set of job grading standards and thereupon instructions are used. So these are majorly descriptive in nature and they help with the process becoming more simplified. Now here we need to understand that due to some differences in duties, in the skills and knowledge and other aspects of trades and labor jobs, the job grading standards are developed mainly along the occupational lines. So what is occupational lines? So somebody who is in finance, okay, or somebody who is specifically in, a specific line of occupation, like they are technical people, They are, you know, people from the mechanical occupational line. So these people are considered in this particular sort of classification to make it more relevant in nature. Here is an example. So if you notice over here, there are three important departments that we are looking at in a sample organization. Yeah. So the first one is related to human resources, which has this sort of a classification. Like, let's say the C level, which is the topmost level, that is comprising of the executive class. So we have got a CHRO, a person who heads the HR functions across, the factories, across maybe the branches. So this is the highest position for an HR, which is a CHRO. Like finance may have a CFO, as you can see, okay, and marketing may have a CMO. So these are the chief officers pertaining to that line of business or that occupation. The next is the HR director here, the manager, and a base level position, which is analyst. So here the gradation or the classification is done in this particular form. When considering finance, we have a director under the CFO. We have a manager or several managers or several directors and analysts. So here these are just one, and these may be many catering to the various locations of that organization. For example, if the organization is headquartered out of Frankfurt, Germany, so in various areas of India, we have German origin companies, MNCs. So if the organization has its bases out of Frankfurt, it may have the directors in India and various other places. It may have managers and so on. Similarly, marketing may have a chief marketing officer followed by the director or set of directors, set of managers and analysts who look at the ground level work. So this is how the grading or the classification is done. Now we look at certain important aspects of, you know, the job classification or grading method. So here it caters to difficulty and variety of work. So people who are, doing more difficult work tend to be, you know, they tend to get a better pay hike. Supervision received and exercised is also looked upon. We also look at the factor of judgment exercised by those individuals. The job also needs originality required. So what is the originality in the job description? What will the person be offering the organization in this sense? Nature and purpose of interpersonal work relationships is another factor, along with responsibility, along with experience and the knowledge that is required. So let's say the job of a finance director may not have the same need as a CFO. It might have a lower need. Similarly, an analyst may not need the same sort of experience, certifications, and qualification as that required by a finance director. Yeah. So these are certain important factors which are considered by analysts when they design the framework according to the job classification or the job grading method. So now there are distinct five steps that are followed in the process of job classification. Let's look at each one of them. So these involve the preparation of the job description for basic information. Now we need some sort of a pool of information which will help us to create an assessment or an analysis, right? The next is preparing of the job grading description for identification of different levels of job. Each grade level must be distinct from the grade level which is adjacent to it. So this is what is important, yeah? Otherwise, gradation will not at all happen and we will not be able to see any sort of distinction or an improvement as the levels go higher. The next particular step involves selecting of grades and key jobs about 10 to 20 jobs, which include all the major departments and functions, and thus they are able to comprehensively cover all the grades that are there as a part of that level of hierarchy. So this is what is important, okay? Of course, the next particular aspect is to grade the key jobs. So the key jobs are assigned to an appropriate grade level, and their relationship to each other is then studied. So again, this is a form of evaluation or assessment that happens at this particular stage, yeah? And the need to classify, the next step entails the classification of all the jobs on the basis of grade definitions. So each grade will have its own set of description or a definition in the form of notes, which will be studied by the raters or the classifiers. So all the jobs in the same grade receive the same wage or a range of rate. Now, same wage meaning, like, let's say on a monthly basis, if a finance analyst is earning, let's say, 35,000, and the same, they require four analysts having similar experience, they will have the same wage or range. Probably they get a range of experience as well. Like one finance analyst is having 8 years, whereas the other one is having 4 years. So one may get 35,000 as a monthly gross salary, and the other one with 4 years may get 32,000. So there may be a range of rate, but which are similar for those classes or categories of jobs. Now we have, we'll be looking at the quantitative methods. So after having looked at the qualitative methods, we now progress to the quantitative method. And the first quantitative method is that of factor comparison. Now, as the name goes, this method is structured, it is systematic and scientific in nature. Now, as we have seen in the previous methods, they are more qualitative in their basis. Here, we follow more of a mathematical or a scientific standard, correct? So instead of ranking a job as a whole, okay, ranks are created according to a series of factors. Thus, we involve numbers into our computations. The aim of factor comparison is to assign certain financial values to the relative parts of each of those job roles. So this is instrumental, if you recollect, in reducing any specific preferences or any sort of biases on the part of the people who partake or who are involved in those evaluation methods. So here, this involves a more scientific basis. In factor comparison, we involve the combination of ranking and the point system. Under this method, the jobs are evaluated by certain standards. In this method, instead of making complete jobs, each job is ranked according to a series of factors. So there might be certain factors like the complexity of doing the job, the experience required. Are there any certifications that are completed by a prospective candidate? Is there a certain inherent risk involved or an occupational hazard? Okay, so these aspects are computed in order to look at a specific input, and basis that you could receive an output. Thank you.